is. And that is featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and the one in Malpas with the state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning again to you, Lori. And I want to thank you for helping me last week when we had to tape our program for Monday because I wanted to be able to go to the Mobile County Board of Education's meeting that morning. So it really helped for you to come in and get us taped up on Friday.
Absolutely.
So we could deliver that message. And I think, you know, I was really pleased that Congressman Brooks was able to come on with us. And I think that, you know, I'm going to be doing more of those interviews with all the candidates as soon as we can get hold of them. And I think that's part of what we should be doing.
Very good.
So we'll see how that goes. But here we are again, another busy week of stuff that we've got to watchdog over.
Okay.
And we'll do that. And I do want to start with a couple of things that are important. This Delta variant is a national question. But it has had now a local impact in terms of whether or not our kids are going to have to wear masks for this forthcoming school year. So I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about, you know, the vaccine and the degree to which the vaccine is a problem. Governor Ivey chastised all of the folks who have not been vaccinated as blaming them for the problems going on. So we need to talk a little bit about that. I also want to get into a couple of, you know, national issues, particularly foreign policy questions having to do with the, you know, Afghanistan and our border problem. I mean, the border just doesn't go away. So that's the show today. And I'm sure that I will need a couple of extra minutes, as I always do. And out of the generosity of your heart, she's laughing at me right now. Okay, folks, you can't see it, but... But at any rate, let's get started with this, okay? And let me begin with this whole question about the Delta variant, okay? And the degree to which we have to be very cognizant of it as a very deadly thing or not. And let me frame this along the lines of why there's so much of a problem in terms of getting people to accept the opinions that are coming out of the government, the CDC especially. So you have the CDC director last week going on TV and telling everyone that this is a deadly, deadly virus and it's very contagious, and that if we don't do something about it, then it's going to be, and I mean, these are her words, it's going to be more deadly than what we saw before. So soon after she said that, a former CDC director, who I think happens to be a pretty good guy, he worked for Obama and he worked for Trump. His name is Dr. Scott Gottlieb. Gottlieb comes on and says, listen, the Delta variant is weak. It's going to be probably over by the end of August. And if it's not, we can have vaccines that will be, you know, on the drawing board and to the public within 90 days, if necessary. Now, Laurie, you're looking skeptical here.
I had not heard that yet.
Yes, well, now you've heard it here. Another first from the Dr. Lou watchdog, okay? But folks, here's the difficulty. Here are two experts, okay? And this is supposed to be, quote, science? And it ain't science.
Two experts completely disagreeing with
exactly.
each other.
I mean, this is like my field of study, which is political science, which is an oxymoron because there's nothing scientific about political science. But nevertheless, in social studies, you're going to have disagreements. Very smart people can disagree about the same issues, okay? That's understood. How is it possible that these two scientists have a fundamentally different view about a scientific occurrence? I don't know. Okay, but it goes to the heart of the matter because this whole thing has been politicized. And I've said this before, you all know it, it's true. How do you accept the word of those folks who are saying gloom and doom? I don't know. I personally can't do it. But here's the sidebar to this is that now you have an issue down here with whether or not Baldwin County schools are going to have masks this coming fall.
They are.
Yeah, well, a week ago they weren't.
But now they are.
But now they are, in theory, okay, which I'll get into. But my point is, suddenly you have a question that starts at the national level, bubbles down or percolates down to us, and the next thing you know, we're making changes in how we are going to be doing business in our schools based on what? And that's the issue. Based on what? The fact is that in the age cohort, 17 and under, there are zero deaths from COVID in that age group. And that's wonderful, okay? That's what we expect. But that's part and parcel of the whole idea behind, you know, who's most vulnerable in with COVID. It's my age group, 75 and over, okay? We're the ones that died the most. If zero deaths are in 17 and under, that's wonderful news. But let's take that and see whether or not that justifies wearing masks. And you say, well, we don't want our kids to catch it. Okay, well, I would agree with that, except now here's our second issue. Do the masks really work? So Fauci in 2009 is quoted as saying masks don't work. You heard this all during the pandemic last year. At one time, they're talking about masks are not relevant, don't worry about it, and a month later, wear the mask, wear the mask. Fauci's got to the point where he went from no masking to now you have to wear two masks. Okay, Lori's laughing, but you see...
May I please?
Yes, go ahead.
How can the mask help if you can smell flatulence through underwear and pants?
Yeah, well...
What is it blocking?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it, okay? So unless you have the M95, you know, mask, are you really going to be protected from something that can seep through these cloth masks? Look, I mean, it's a legitimate question, but you see what's happened here... Whether it's the two experts arguing over how deadly the Delta variant is going to be, or whether it's mixed messaging coming out of Washington over masking, what are we supposed to do? And so I think the best thing that we can do is be skeptical and make decisions based on your own research and then go from there. But I'm just going to say to you, that if the hospitalization rate here in Baldwin County is low in terms of that 17 and under age cohort, then why are we changing what happened with, or why are we changing to a mask requirement when a week ago we're not? Now that's something that by next week we should have the data. I know that there was an emergency medical meeting for the county commissioners and others this past Friday. We're trying to get the information on what they actually gave us. And I will say this, I talked to John Sharp, who is an AL.com reporter, and John basically agrees with me. It is very difficult to get any kind of data from Montgomery about anything pertaining to COVID. How many people are actually hospitalized in the age cohort that we're concerned about for schools in Thomas Hospital or anywhere else for that matter? We don't know, but we're going to try to find out. And I will suggest to you that if we find out that there are limited cases, and I mean, not only limited cases, but why are people going to the hospital? Are they all going because of Delta, or is it that there are other things going on too? We can't just assume because there's a high, you know, hospitality. That's a good one. It is Monday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
We knew what you meant.
Yes, thank you. It was hospitalization that was supposed to come out, but it didn't. At any rate, here we are trying to find out what the hospitalization rates are and if there are any deaths associated with COVID, then we need to know that to make an informed decision about going forward. But I say this once again, even if there are several cases of the 17 and under age cohort in the hospital for whatever, then we need to know that. But if that whatever is Delta variant, then we are still left with the question, how do you use a mask to prevent that from being spread? It just doesn't make sense. I know Florida DeSantis has already said no to masking in the schools. So there's precedent for people to go down that road. I think the only real question that we have to answer, and I will try to get an answer on this, is are the schools liable if someone goes without a mask, if the masking is not required, someone gets COVID, and then there's a problem, are the schools liable? My understanding is that the legislators passed a bill that protects businesses from lawsuits, okay? And I would assume that those protections would spill over into the public realm with your schools. I'll check on that. But as it stands right now, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be changing simply on the basis of what's going on with the Delta variant, I would argue, okay? So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the vaccine. And it is an issue, and Ivy is out there beating the drums for those who didn't get vaccinated. And, I mean, my wife and I did get vaccinated for a variety of reasons, okay? And, yes, it is somewhat risky, and I think this is another factor that you have to take into account. The last time they had a flu problem, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, they had an issue with the flu vaccine. About 50 people died from it, and so they pulled it, okay? Now, think about this. If they're pulling flu vaccine because of 50 deaths, and that, listen, that's horrible. I understand that, okay? That's not the issue. The issue is they're pulling it because of 50 people having been killed as a result of using it. Well, guess how many people have died using this vaccine? It's over 5,000, okay?
And I've heard 50,000.
Okay, and depending upon who you want to, you know, believe. I'll believe old Dr. Liu here, but nevertheless, you're free to go for 50. But the point is, once again, notice how the lack of credibility on some of these things becomes an issue. And here's another one of these questions that has popped up as a result of more research being done, that in the 17 to under cohort, especially for males, there are heart problems associated with it. I'm not inventing this. Lori looks quizzical on that, but it's true. More and more people are in that age cohort are showing up with heart problems as a result of getting the vaccine. Okay, so now what does that do to those parents who are torn? You know, they want to use the vaccine because, I mean, let's face it, the vaccine is effective. It broke the back of the pandemic, okay? I don't think that that's an unfair statement. I think it's quite correct, whether you like vaccines or not. But the fact of the matter is that now the FDA has a major credibility problem with it. And so the solution to this, one can argue, is for the FDA to finalize, you know, the process to where the vaccines are not just, you know, based on emergency use requirements, but they are part of their normal process by which they become, blessed as safe.
But that takes over 2 years and rigorous testing that has not been done simply because there has not been the time to do them.
Well, that part of the problem, though, you know, goes back to something that both Pfizer and Moderna have asked for the normalization process. And as of the last thing that I saw on this was that these requests were turned in 6 months ago. They still haven't been acted on. So Biden and them are telling everybody to get vaccinated. And what's her name? Ivy's up there, you know, blaming everybody who's not vaccinated. Meanwhile, if you have hesitancy about this on legitimate grounds that this stuff might not be safe for me or my family, then the way to sort that out, old Uncle Joe Biden, get off your butt and get the FDA to move quicker on it to approve it.
You mean to literally break their rules set in place
no.
order to approve it before they've done the testing?
No, they've done 44,000 people in the test. Now they have even more people tested. The point is that when Pfizer and Moderna asked for a movement towards normalization, not using just emergency. They've sat on those requests for the last 6 months. They could have been moving along that. Now, I would suggest that more than likely they don't have to take as long as the normal two-year process. They've had plenty of experience right with this. But be that as it may, all I'm saying is you can't tell everybody to get vaccinated and then be sitting there and the FDA people aren't getting off their butts to do something to make it look like, hey, if they could very well find that some of these problems with the heart issues in the 17 and under cohort. What's going on with that? Nobody really knows, except the fact is they have documented evidence that there are problems with it. You know, and we have Alabama doctors, and I think I've mentioned this to you all before. I've been working with, we had Dr. Williams come speak at our stand-up rally back in March, and I've been on with Dr. Calderwood, who is another Huntsville doctor. Williams is over in Tuscaloosa. These people have been treating COVID patients with ivermectin and with HCQ. I'll go with
there. You go.
There you go.
The
acronym. Oh my God! It is Monday. All right. So, all I'm suggesting to you is that these kinds of issues are there, and we understand that. And I think that it's important for us to come to grips with exactly what is going on with all this. And the only way to do that really is for the FDA to get through the process and say, look, here are the reasons why these are issues, and this is what they can do to correct them, and get a vaccine that meets the smell test in terms of not being, you know, dangerous to take. So there's my story, and I'm sticking to that one. Okay. Laurie's ready to debate me. Okay. We'll have a debate. All right. So there we have the vaccine issues, okay? I've mentioned this question about masking down here, and I think it is important to understand what's going on. We've had people calling wanting to know what they can do about this. Well, here's what common sense is going to do to try to move this into a process that makes a whole lot more sense than what we've got. According to sources which I trust, the decision to go ahead and require the masks was made without a board vote. In other words, the Baldwin County Board of Education did not address this, talk about it, debate it, come to a decision based on what is a usual process, one could argue. And so without a board vote, our argument at this point is that the board should take this under advisement and at the soonest time possible, which would be the 17th of August at their work session meeting, they should talk about it and then vote on it on the 19th. So here's what we're proposing. On August 7th at Mamalu's restaurant, Cody Phillips has the think tank. We've been doing the think tank for many, many years. It's a Baldwin County GOP organization that Dr. McCullough started. Bottom line is that we are going to have a town hall in conjunction with the think tank. And I'm hoping that we'll get the word out so parents from throughout the Baldwin County can come to that. And I've already invited Tony Myrick, who is the vice president of the board, and I'm trying to get with Janae Dawson, who is the president of the Baldwin County School Board, to come. Answer questions. Talk about this. Before we have the pitchforks show up on the 19th, let's talk about what's possible, what we can do. There's mixed messaging about all of this. We've heard that 80% of the parents are in favor of you know, wearing masks. Well, I mean, that may be true, but what about the 20% who don't want the mask? It seems to me this should be a parental choice, and I would hope that the board would revisit this and leave it up to the parents. If they want to send their kids with a mask, have at it. If not, I think it's important that we we move in a more small d democratic way. So please think about that, and we'll be getting that word out, and I'll send something to Lori so she can put it out on Facebook and all like that. All right, let's talk about critical race theory, another issue that, you know, that's one of the reasons I wasn't here last week. We had to tape it on Friday so that I could go to that board meeting. Ostensibly, the Mobile Board of Education allows people to speak publicly at their meetings, but you have to go through this onerous process, submitting a request to speak 5 days in advance, and you have to turn in what you are going to say 5 days in advance. Okay, well, Dr. Liu did all of that. Okay, did my homework, found out what was required, and I did it. I was told by the secretary of the out of the superintendent's office that they preferred to wait until August at the August 23rd meeting before I spoke. And the reason...
Bless you.
Excuse me. Well, bless it is you. Monday, I'll tell you. Quite sorry about that. That's breaking radio etiquette, I guess. But I ain't a radio person, so I'm going to sneeze.
There you go.
I might even say a bad word every now and
you
then.
You have done that.
Breaking real etiquette. All right, so they're telling me, no, the agenda is just too full. We can't have you speak, but we're glad to let you meet with the superintendent on the 3rd, which is tomorrow, which I will do that, talk about CRT with him, and then you can talk on the 23rd. Folks, let me tell you what, okay? There were about six or seven common sense folks who came to the meeting because, you know, we wanted to show up and show our interest. Okay, the agenda was so full that they got through in 40 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but it sure didn't seem to me that they could have taken a few minutes to hear what some people in the audience had to say, not only about CRT, but there were people with signs saying, fix our schools, and there's another issue going on with a school out there that has a lot of, I think, bad situation from the past. All right, so there again, notice how different it is at Baldwin County. Baldwin County, you want to speak, put your name on the list, and on the proper times at their regular meetings, you can speak. You get 3 minutes, which is fair. This business, and look, Baldwin County is not the only one that uses this process to limit speech, okay? There are others. And the reason I know that is because we have people throughout the state doing what I said we were going to do, sending biracial teams to these various school board meetings to argue against CRT. And they're finding how difficult it is to get in and speak. And that's exactly what these people want. We're going to pursue this further with the Secretary of State because I've made this point before that the State Board of Education, I think, violates the open meetings ruling, not in terms of the question about, you know, how many people are there, meeting together who are board members, but in terms of the public's ability to reach out and speak. That's something that we're going to take a look at. All right. So before I run out of time, Laurie's already looking at that clock.
I'm on the Mobile County Public School System website trying to find out if they have required masks.
As of last week, no, they did
Mobile,
not.
Mobile, okay.
No, they hadn't.
And believe it or not, even under frequently asked questions and student-parent information and all, it's a hard answer to find. So it's no so far.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, again, CRT, we have been told by people, the executive director of the Alabama School Board Association, that this whole business with CRT is a fiction. There's nothing out there to show that any schools are using it. Just the right-wing interest groups are pushing the school board to address CRT. Au contraire, okay? You can go on Eagle Forum's website and you'll find all this information there. The fact of the matter is, the reason why Superintendent Mackey brought up the whole CR2 issue is because two of the board members from up north of Alabama, which is where it's where we're already seeing CRT being used, they wanted it addressed. Okay, it wasn't people like me calling Mackey and saying, "Oh, you got to get rid of CRT." No, these are the board members themselves. There's the problem. So from our perspective, what's happening now is the board members have had a chance to look at what the resolution was all about. They've put in their opinions about it. And on the 5th of August, Mackey is supposed to be getting back to the board members with a revised resolution. We'll see how this goes. We need to stay on top of this. The board has to adopt a strong anti-CRT resolution that includes the statement, the United States is not, and Alabama is not, a racist state or country. There was differences of opinion about that at the last board meeting. One board member said she could not agree to that last statement. That's the critical statement that you have to go with, I would argue. Well, we'll see how that works itself out. Let's talk about foreign policy and Afghanistan. The fact of the matter is that the Taliban have moved in the direction which we all knew would happen if we just pulled out, okay? This is part and parcel of, and let me frame it this way, okay? Obama has a horrible track record in foreign policy, okay? Whether it's going back to, you know, the whole red line business in Syria, which they did not follow because the Syrians were, they let them off the hook. They used WMD against their own people, and Obama said, no, if that happens, then by God, you're going to pay the price. They didn't pay the price, okay? The only price that they paid was, you know, rhetorical price, which is nothing. They got support from the Iranians. They got support from the Russians, and Assad was able to win his war, okay? That's part of it. The other thing is, what did Obama do with Iraq? He was part of this, and so was Biden. They pulled the troops out in 2011. They had to go back in 2 years later because ISIS grew out of it. You don't think that's going to happen in Afghanistan? And you say, well, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does matter, because the planning of 9/11 was done in Afghanistan, okay? Afghanistan became, you know, point central for planning, for getting weapons, for getting people, money into various places. They were doing that for 10 years before 9/11. So I'm sorry. You know, here we are with a track record of failure. And what does Obama do? And you say, well, Trump was pulling out too. Yeah, Trump was pulling out. But guess what? He also put conditions on it. No, if the conditions weren't ripe, then we weren't going to pull out. We would stick it out. And this is exactly what the conditions aren't ripe. This is the BS factor, folks, okay? No reason for us to be doing this. So what General McMaster, in a really good editorial in Wall Street Journal, let's keep air power support. Let's keep logistics support. Let's make sure that we've got intelligence there to help our Afghan allies. That makes sense. Look, folks, here's another part of the equation here. What we're doing right now is Vietnam redo, okay? This is what happened. The Democrats cut off the major part of our aid to South Vietnam. We had created an army that needed American support. They were a mirror image of us. They fought with air. They fought with logistics. And then once they didn't have the money to support that, they collapsed, okay? This is exactly what is going to happen here, unless McMaster's argument, I would argue, is followed. Okay? So, my clock says 10:35. Do I have one more minute?
Well, you're actually on time now, so yes, you have a couple of minutes you can go over.
I like it. I like it. Okay, so let's talk about the border. Now, the fact of the matter is, Biden and them are complaining about COVID. Oh, my goodness, we can't have the Europeans come visit us, you know, blocking that. But meanwhile, they're letting anyone across the border, and they're not testing them anymore, okay? This to me, is absolutely absurd, okay? You have the highest number of people. It's a record in June, over a million have already been let in. No one knows where they've gone because they hide it, number one. Number two, the COVID testing process has broken down because they couldn't keep up with it. And so now we're spreading COVID into the interior at the same time we're being lectured about not getting the vaccines. Another high BS factor, if you ask me, okay? It's got to stop. Texas is taking steps to do it. They're asking for support. They're getting support, you know, police and National Guard from everywhere else. We have got to track. We have got to get a hold of this. We do. And we're going to get a hold of it because of people like Abbott in Texas who are doing their duty. All right. So I have more, but Lori's getting the hook out. So, I mean... Oh, God, she's got the hook on me. I got to go.
Goodness gracious.
I know. That's a little drama.
Yes, it is.
Hey, listen, it's like some of those Olympic... we've been listening and watching it. And, I mean, they are so dramatic in some of their talks about, oh, my God, he did such a great job, blah, blah, blah. At any rate, here we are. And the end of another great show.
Thank you very much,
Dr.
Lou.
This one
very,
today.
Very informative.
Thank you, Lori. All right, listen, you guys. Hang in there. Talk to you next week. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. If you missed part of the program, you can catch it at WABF1480.com. The show is sponsored by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and the one in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. WABF is now resuming regular programming.